Today's episode of The Grape Talk is brought to you by Best Fiends. You've earned your fun time. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download Best Fiends for free. Plus, you even earn $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Today on The Grape Talks, Ghost Huntress, a conversation with Sherry DiBenedetti. It all started with innocent creaks and cracks in the floorboards of her old childhood home late at night. Sherry DiBenedetti knew that something was happening in and around her, but she didn't fully understand what or even know what paranormal meant. Eventually, these experiences would escalate to such an extreme that it was undeniable that she was experiencing a haunting. A haunting that would eventually lead her on a lifelong journey to find answers and to help others who have found themselves paranormally affected. Today, we hear her story on The Grape Talks.
You know, like when you're young, you're always thinking about monsters and things going on in your room and things in the closet. And you think you see things and hear things. So to me, when I was younger, I didn't really understand paranormal or ghosts or anything. I'm just, you know, you just kind of think of what is in my room? What's going on? Why are things moving? And so whether I knew or whether I thought that it was ghosts or just like fake monsters in my head. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of hard to kind of pinpoint exactly a time that I thought about ghosts. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to explain it, but.
Sure. But it sounds like things, but things were going on for you. It sounds like in your room.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. Like, you know, like I would see kind of like shadows.
Mm-hmm.
I would see things moving on them own. You think that you hear things, voices, and, you know, but you also question yourself of, was it me or am I just, you know, I'm not sure. And was I really having those things going on? I don't know, because now that I'm older and I kind of understand like EMFs and stuff, like, you know, so it's like, well, maybe, hey, it could have been that stuff going on, you know, you hallucinate because the electric magnetic fields, maybe that's what my problem was. So, you know, so I don't really know, what was going on when I was younger. I do know that I was experiencing things, but whether if it was real or not, I don't know.
Sure.
I guess, you know.
Yeah. And it's hard because so many times in childhood, everything is new. So if you start to experience something that's, you know, abnormal to you, it's really not, because everything is abnormal at that time if it's a new experience.
Right. Right. You know, like, you know, children have all the invisible people that they talk to, you know, and some actually do see people and some are just playing, you know.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so So I don't really exactly know when I really started that whole process, but I do know, let me see, I'm trying to think of, you know, growing up kind of probably when I moved out here mostly. So I moved from New York to Boston when I was about 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's when I started, I guess, more of knowing, like, you know, I played with the Ouija board, of course, because who didn't? And so, you know, you kind of like get into things like that. And I think that's when I started like learning about ghosts and spirits and you know, but again, I still had these things going on, you know, these shadows, and you still hear people talking and things. And still I tried to ignore it because, you know, I didn't understand it. And if it was a ghost or a spirit, well, that's something really scary to think about. So I kind of just always ignored everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was funny because, you know, I used to play with the Ouija board so much because I never really thought of it as being anything harmful or something. I mean, nothing ever happened when I was playing with it, but I played with it for a long time. And people, used to always want to come over to the house because they always, you know, oh, you have a Ouija board, because, you know, nobody else's mother would allow a Ouija board in their house.
And that didn't raise a red flag to you? Like,
no, no. It was like, well, I have a game. Let's play.
Yeah.
they used to always come over and we'd always have things happening. And it wasn't one of those, like, I never believed what the Ouija board actually said, because with my experiences, it would say things, but it's kind of like, okay, well, I was just thinking that. And then it would say it, you know, or the other person was just thinking it and it would say it. So it's like, okay, whatever. It seems like whatever we are thinking, that's what it's writing down. And it's not really giving us any other information. So I kind of ignored everything that it kind of said, but I always wanted things to move because I just thought it was the coolest thing to like see things moving without us touching it, you know? So I did that a lot. And, you know, and friends and family, they used to always come over. We used to always take out the Ouija board and did all of that stuff. But still in my head, it wasn't anything like weird. I don't know. It's just, again, it's so hard to explain. But anyway, so we, you know, I played with that for a while. Something did happen one night playing with it, because my family is from New York. So a lot of them came out. Of course, we took out the Ouija board because they wanted to see things move. And and so one night I did, and there was I took a pencil, put it on the table in front of all of us. There's probably like 15 of us in this room. And so I'm like, all right, you know, make sure, you know, I want this pencil to move. I want everybody to see it, because I had other things moving. But of course, there was always somebody in the room that was a skeptic, and that's fine. I don't care, you know. So I had to like prove to this person, like, you know, no, what we're doing is, you know, I don't understand it, but it happens. And so I put the pencil down and I said, okay, move this pencil so that everybody sees it and whatever. So the pencil took off and it whipped by one of my friends that was sitting on the ground, whipped by her face. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like that scared me. And I'm like, okay, that maybe it's gone too far. Cause like, who knows? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And also the same person was like, oh, somebody could have blown it. Well, it's like, no, how could they blow it that fast without somebody, with actually you not seeing that person blow, you know? So sure. I'm like, fine. I took the pencil, put it back on the table. I said, please do not let it leave this table, but make it move so that everybody sees, but it cannot leave the table. And then all of a sudden it started spinning in circles, like faster and faster and faster. So then everybody saw it. Everybody was like, you know, screaming and yelling, you know? And so that's when I'm like, okay, thank you. Goodbye. So like, that was it. So I actually stopped playing with that for a very long time. Cause I'm like, all right, I don't know what the hell just happened. So so that was my Ouija board story. So that's kind of when I really started to pay attention to of the things that were going on. So when I did see the shadows and hearing things and all of that, I started to pay more attention, I guess, to it. But I really still didn't do anything because I was still, you know, like I was young, I didn't really know what was going on. And I didn't want it to consume my life. You know, I was just trying to still like have a normal life, but then just, you know, try to pay more attention to that stuff. Because I didn't, you know, I don't know if it's harmful. I don't know what it is. And I still didn't understand. But anyway, so life went up. And then, and it wasn't until I was sort of like past college and went into this home that when we first moved in there, there was nothing going on, no activity whatsoever. And then midway, all of a sudden, all these crazy things started happening. And from like knocks and footsteps and voices and doors opening and closing and lights turning on and off, and just the feeling itself. And I specifically remember the feeling of the night that it actually happened, because I had a gym set up downstairs in the basement area. And I just remember, like, you know, like working out, and then all of a sudden the whole room energy completely changed. And I just kind of stood there, and it felt like it felt like some very big man was standing like right in front of me, like, you know, and it was a very, very scary feeling. And I just kind of stood there, and I remember, like it was just really, really hard to breathe. And I looked up at one of the windows, and it was actually like a cat staring back at me, which I'm, you know, I've never seen before, but I don't even know whose neighbor cat it was. But so that even scared me. So I was like, all right. So I like went upstairs, shut the door, and I actually didn't go back to the basement for a very long time. But since that night, that's when all of these things started happening. And my mother had a ghost that she kept seeing. And she kind of described it as a Abe Lincoln type of thing, you know, with the hat and beard and, you know, this long coat on. And she always saw her entity. And we never saw it. So it was my father, my mother, my brother, and me. And we never saw it, but she always saw it. And then just one, it got so bad that I wouldn't even go into the house by myself. So I'd kind of like sit in the driveway and, you know, just wait for, you know, someone to come in, because I didn't want to go into the house by myself. Like that's the energy that whatever was in there was giving off. Mm-hmm. And one night, which is the main night where I started, what is the word?
I'm not sure.
I know. See, this is what happened when you're long-winded. It's like,
yeah, you know, I know. I get you.
There.
I'm the same way, but I can follow because my mind works the same way. So it works good.
Okay. So, but like, so the main night where everything started for me was like, I came home from, my boyfriend's house at the time. I came home and, you know, got ready for bed. And as soon as I got into bed, so as soon as my head hit the pillow, something grabbed my ankles and held my ankles down. So I got up and, you know, to look what was on, like, cause I couldn't move my ankles. So my whole body, I lifted my body up to like see what's there, and there's nothing there, but I can't move my ankles. And so then
paralysis, is that the word you're looking for? Like a partial paralysis that was going on?
Well, it was, I couldn't move my ankles, so I could move my feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was just like, you feel something grab your ankles and pushing it down to the bed. So I can move the rest of my body and even my feet and toes, cause I was trying to like get out of whatever the heck was going on.
Yeah.
So, and then when that happened, they grabbed my wrist and then pushed my wrist down to the bed. So then, you know, so the rest, so the, the middle of my body, you know, went down to the bed, and I can still wiggle. So it wasn't like a paralysis of the body, because I was like still trying to get out of this thing with my wrists and my ankles. And then, but I lifted my head up. And so when I was trying to yell down the hall for my parents, but then they put their hand over my mouth, which I felt the fingers on my lips, you know, and then, so they put their hand over my mouth and then pushed my head down. So now I can't, you know, obviously I can't move, and I'm still trying to like get out of it. So it wasn't like a paralysis thing. It was just, you felt yourself being held down.
Almost as if a human was doing it, but it's an unseen force that's doing it. Yeah. Back to the conversation in just a second. First, I got to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends. It's a mobile puzzle game that I love, and you know, you deserve a little bit of downtime. You do. It's something that I have a hard time taking myself, but you know, I do sometimes. And sometimes I just like to go sit on the porch, play Best Fiends, kind of a mental palate cleanser, give me a little relief. Sometimes I'm in the checkout because for some reason they've become very long lately, and I don't know why. You know, it's things like that, little spaces where you can kind of find time to not just be frustrated by waiting for something. Make that a space for you to have a little mental escape. Best Fiends is the free to download mobile puzzle game with thousands of exciting levels. and new adventures for challenges every single time you play. Dozens of unique fiends to collect so you can customize your team of fiends to defeat the menacing slugs. I'm in the lower 800s right now on my levels. With offline play, you never have to be stranded without fun. Even if you lose your internet connection. I was on a flight recently, no internet connection, and I thought they had Wi-Fi on board. No, they didn't. Thank goodness I had this. Brand new events, challenges pop up all year round, so you've always got a chance to earn exclusive in-game items, characters, and rewards. You've earned your fun time. Go to the App Store or Google Play to download Best Fiends for free. Plus, earn even more with $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Like I said, like I felt the fingers on my lips. Mm-hmm. It felt like hands grabbing my wrists and my ankles. Like it felt like hands. It wasn't like a pressure. It felt like somebody was actually doing it.
Sure.
And so as soon as that happened, a full body apparition of the guy that I just left, the boyfriend that I had, he appeared at the bottom of the bed.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So I was looking at him and for a split second, I was like, what are you doing? Like, you know, like in my head, yeah. I was just like, what is he doing here? I just left him. He's like 40 minutes away from me, but he's here in my room. Am I really in his room? Am I in, is he here? You know, like, cause I couldn't understand how is he here? You know? So after that, because I mean, it was everything. So the only light that was coming in was, you know, I mean, the moonlight. So I could see like his whole outline was exactly him. The things that he was wearing was him, his hair, like he had like sweatpants and the sweatshirt that he always wears. And, you know, so like everything was him. And then he started coming over closer to me. And so he went to the side of the bed on my right and he kind of leaned over. And that's when I saw, like, I couldn't see his actual face. So the face looked like if you were like staring out at a midnight sky, like that distant black look, like that's what the face was. So there's nothing there. And, you know, and I have no idea how long he was actually staring or like, I just have no idea. To me, it didn't really seem that long, but probably maybe like a minute or two. And then he just kind of like leaned back up and then he started walking. And I remember like hearing the footsteps in the carpet. I remember like the, you know, like your inner thighs, like kind of like make a noise when you, when you walk. So he just kind of went out. And so my door is to the left of me. So the door opened and then he went out. And as soon as I saw that, I noticed that he didn't have anything from his knees down. There was nothing there. And then, so the door opened up by itself, closed by itself. And then once it closed, everything was lifted off of me. So for that night was, I mean, probably for like a year, I had all of my lights always on. The closet door was open because I always had to make sure I knew what was in the closet. You know, like I the TV was blasting because I didn't want to hear that noise again, the footsteps in the carpet and stuff like that. So So I was like nervous, you know, for a long time.
Well, I mean, essentially you went through a trauma there that night with that happening. So I have to ask then, right when when this door shuts and he's gone, what the hell is going through your mind after this just happened? I mean, are you just, let's put the blankets over your head and fall asleep and pretend this didn't happen? Or what did you immediately do after that?
I just remember getting up and turning lights on and stuff. And I honestly don't remember going back to sleep. Like I don't remember much after that. I do know the only thing that like, I do remember is that like every time I tried to go back to sleep again, like I said, lights on, TV blasting. And it did take me a long time to go to sleep, but I think I probably went to sleep with covers over my head for a very long time also. I never want to go through that again. Like, what the hell was that? What happened? You know, can this thing hurt me? I know he can keep me down and I can't scream, yell, I can't move. Like, what else could it do to me? I'm only two doors down from my parents, but yet I still can't yell for help. I can't do anything. So knowing that that thing had that much power over me was extremely scary. And that's kind of why I wanted to be more of, okay, I need to figure out what is going on? What was that?
Yeah.
And can it hurt me? And, you know, so that's when I started to kind of reach out to more people. And again, this is like 90s, not mm-hmm. many people talked about that stuff.
Sure.
You know, and if you do, you might be crazy, you mm-hmm. know, and so it's kind of, you have to kind of figure out who you can talk to.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I did go, you know, to the library and just start finding books and, you know, about like angels and ghosts and spirit or whatever, you know, like whatever you can find, you just
sure.
start reading, you know, and try to figure out what could be happening. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I was never able to go back to the house to investigate because we already moved out of the house before, I felt comfortable mm-hmm. To investigate.
Sure.
You know, but there was still all these things that always happened at the house.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they would, one night I just remember one of my aunt from New York, she happened to be coming up the stairs and she was like three or four steps from my bedroom door. Well, my door slams open and I'm like yelling at her, like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, it's like, mm-hmm. it's like 12 o'clock at night. And why, you know, so I'm yelling at her and she's like, I didn't do anything. But then I also noticed that she was like three or four steps down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and then she's like, I don't know what's going on. She's like, it's like, cause she had this really weird feeling. Like she was scared to even like come into the house. And she's like, I don't know. She's like, but I just walked by your bird and it's hanging upside down. Is that normal? I said, I don't know. I've never seen it hanging upside down. Come to find out that they do.
Okay.
Cockatiels. But you know, but like at the time I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I've never yeah. seen her hanging upside down.
The bird's holding an inverted crucifix as well.
I know. And so I'm like, I don't understand. I don't know why. While we're talking about it, my bird starts flying around the house. So it's like, the bird was in the cage because yeah. I lock her up every night and she just went by the cage. So she knew it was locked up.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden we're talking about the bird and now the bird's flying around the house. So I'm like, oh my God. So I had to go down there and catch the bird and put the bird back. So while I'm doing that, my aunt goes into my mother's room and she's like, oh my God, what the hell's going on in this house? And so while she's in the room with my mother discussing what was going on, all of a sudden things start flying out of my mother's closet, like her pocketbooks and stuff. And they're like, what is, oh my, I mean, so it's just stuff like that. That's scary. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we can look back right now and laugh, you know, but like sure. at the time we're, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And you know what, we were never harmed. Nothing ever hurt us or anything, but it just gave off this, awful feeling. You know, and it would do things to scare us, you know, but luckily it never actually harmed us. But anyways, that was actually that night when I was held down. That's what kind of got me started into this
sure.
whole investigation process.
Well, that would be a good starting point or a good reason yeah. to start digging. What happened with the guy that you had just left that showed up or in a version of him, you know, showed up that night?
I ended up marrying him.
Okay.
Well, you know what? People, like when I tell people this story, they're like, maybe that person came in to say, don't marry him because now we're divorced.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, maybe he's trying to tell me something. That's right.
That's interesting. So, I mean, yeah. this vision of him, I mean, it's more than a vision. He was there. You saw a physical entity
there.
And he wasn't dead. I mean, I was waiting to hear,
right.
you know, and then he was in a car accident or something that night,
right.
but yeah. I was actually hoping it was not going to end in death, not just because that's bad, right. but because I have a question about that for you. And it's something mm-hmm. that I've been examining a lot on these shows over the last couple of years, just with all the people I talk to. Mm-hmm. It seems that there's this, and it's probably always been out there, but I think more people are making light of it or making sense of it, of the living haunting the living, where it's not always the dead. And we always think, oh, if there's something moving around, it's a ghost, it's a dead person, it's this or that, or a spirit of some sort. But how often do you think it was, you know, it is that individual that was able to be there in your room? And not that he was sitting back at his house, you know, practicing something of I'm going to show up in your bedroom, but but some sort of subconscious thing that we do as humans, where we're able to see each other, where we're able to have those presences, and the other person having no knowledge of it, or maybe if you do have knowledge of it, you think it's a dream yourself. Did you ever, I'm assuming you discussed this with him at some point.
Yeah. I mean, he knew everything that was going on to the house, which made him not want to come to the house. you know, like, honestly, we were so scared. And if my father went away, I'd be like, listen, do you mind coming over? Cause like, just like to have somebody else here, you know, just to kind of ease our minds a little bit. And, you know, he tried, like he came over one night and by 2 o'clock in the morning, he's like, I have to leave. He's like, I'm so sorry. He's like, but I have to leave. Cause like, it's just not a good feeling.
Yeah.
So even he had to leave and it's like, okay, great. Thanks. Leave
us here. When even your boyfriend is like, I'm out, I'm sorry. Good luck, guys. Most guys will put up through a lot, like the house is burning. Okay, but is it that side of the house? Okay, we're good over here. We should probably get out.
And yet I still married him. So yeah, I don't know.
Hindsight's 20/20 on marriages. I understand. Wow, that's amazing. I mean, what do you, when you look back at this retrospectively, you know, all these years later. I mean, there's a couple levels to it. Let's just kind of attack that night first. What do you think was going on? I mean, you know, to the best of what you can gather up.
The only thing I can really think of is that because the house was fine prior to, I just feel like maybe somebody brought home something. So it could either somebody had a hitchhiker and, you know, brought them home and then they decided to stick around, or maybe somebody was kind of walking around in the area and came into the house and decided again, they wanted to just stick around. I don't know. I don't know of any other reason why, only because it wasn't there when we first started. And it was like, we were there for like a good year.
Yeah.
Before anything started. So I wasn't thinking that it was going to be with the house. The house was only 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And the people prior to was actually a basketball star, Celtics. Okay. And he was, you know, living at, you know, and so like, so nobody died in the house. Mm-hmm. As the property itself and the land, I guess it used to be like strawberry fields and stuff. And again, there was no not murders, but like any death that we know of.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, again, who the heck knows thousands of years ago or whatever.
Like sure.
But I don't know. So the only thing that I could only think of is that maybe somebody brought something home. It's the only thing we can think of.
Do you ever wonder if, you know, all those years of playing with the Ouija board and you yourself having, you know, heard some things and seen some things and it was just kind of part of life. Do you wonder if maybe there was something that had been attached to you for, you know, all that time and this just happened to be the window where it, you know, it opened itself up and it really made itself known?
I'm not sure. Again, it's like, I wouldn't even think that I had such a quiet time for so long prior to all of this happening.
Sure.
So again, I'd be like, well, why, you know, why did it wait all this time? Or, you know, I don't know. So again, I just, you know, maybe I brought it home. Like, you know, I mean, I have no idea. Again, who did, but I don't think that the three of them would have brought home anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because why would it have done that to me? So I'm kind of assuming maybe that I got attached somehow. There's no proof of it. And I don't know. And I can't go back to figure it out either. So unfortunately, I'll never know.
Yeah. What were the reactions of others in your life? I mean, did you share this with anybody at the time?
My family knew, and I could say something to my family because they were going, they were in the house. So they know that things were happening in the house. And my close friends, I could talk to, they might think, okay, I'm not hanging out with her anymore, but I could talk to
get
them
it
about it.
Yeah.
And there's far and few between, you kind of meet other people and you start meeting other people because I think that, people are brought into your lives for certain reasons and stuff, So I think I just started meeting different people here and there. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that subject would come up. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden you start talking about it. And then, so-and-so had that. So you get to meet more and more people that had these things going on.
Sure.
Which is obviously a good feeling that you're not alone and that you're not crazy.
Yeah.
But again, that's why I started the whole, okay, well, I need to start talking to more and more people about it and kind of maybe get their take on it and learn, because we're always teaching and learning from each other. Mm-hmm. So the more people you talk to, the more, you can learn and then you can also tell them, and teach them things and then of course all the books that I was trying to read and then of course internet comes up, and then the more, and then I ended up running into, the TAPS group, and of course they had their events going on, and that's when I first met up with Jason and other TAPS members. And, they, of course, teach us a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just kind of rolled, one thing into another. Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to get into the whole investigating thing. And maybe things aren't paranormal, or maybe they are. So, let's try to figure things out. And that's why I just wanted to get into to help other people in their homes going through the same situation. Because I would have, if there was groups out there at the time while I lived in the house, I would have definitely had them come out, to help us out, because it was a horrible feeling. It's the most horrible thing. You don't want to go home because you don't feel comfortable. It's like, I feel more comfortable sleeping in my car than sleeping in my house. It's just, that's awful. And so that's why I kind of wanted to get into learning as much as I can, experiencing as much as I can, and knowing that everything that happens isn't negative. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens isn't going to hurt you, and it's okay. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it is a stranger, but let's try to figure it out who it is or what it is. It could be an animal in your wall, it could be so many different things, but let's, just calm down a little bit and let's try to figure it out so that we can all feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I wanted to get into it.
Sure. And it's not only cathartic to be able to share those things with other people and then have them understand, and like you said, we're all learning and growing together. And that's such an interesting thing. That's what I found very fulfilling of doing these shows over the last 10 years is the amount of people that just reach out going, I felt so alone. I had no idea that other people had experienced these things. And you hear, thousands of stories. And, over the course of that, I believe all of us who are in this, none of us are experts, but we're more, some of us are just more informed than others because we've heard more stories than others. So to be able to take those nuggets and go, okay, you're not alone. This may sound very obscure of what you're going through, but I've heard this one, I've heard that one. I don't have the answers to it, but you're not alone. And sometimes that enough is just enough to make someone feel sane again, you know?
Right. I mean, it's awesome. Like, you know, with Ghost Hunters and others shows out there to say, okay, don't just think that everything is a ghost or a spirit or an entity, you know, like try to figure out all these things. And even doing that helped out so many people, you know, because like people just don't understand, you know, the electrical issues or the plumbing issues or, you know, maybe need pest control or whatever it is. Sure. People just ran right to, oh my God, there's a ghost in my house. No, it's this, that, you know, and especially, I noticed a lot of things. Like I did many, many homes when I first, obviously that was like my main focus was doing homes to help people in their homes. And a lot of things were, remember we used to have all these cordless things, like from vacuums to the telephones to whatever, you know? And so all of that gave off so much EMF. So, you know, and I just tell people, move it to the other room. Just move it away for like, you know, a week, see how you feel. Oh, everything's great. There's no goal. Yep. You know, so just simple things like that, you know, I think helped out a lot of people. So even their anxiety about that, you know, I mean, helped out a lot, which is great, you know?
Sure. I mean, those sort of things and just taking an inventory of it and seeing if this helps or that helps, because those things, they do affect us in ways that, you know, it doesn't necessarily say on the box, like may make you somewhat feel crazy, but it's so interesting how that works. Another thing, you know, that you got to tread the line lightly on, but I do bring it up quite often is when you get a story sometimes and everybody goes straight to ghost or demon or whatever. And it's like, go to a doctor, just go to a doctor, get yourself looked at first. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how often do you feel that you come across that where, you know, it's someone who is suffering from some sort of a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I do believe there's plenty that have mental health issues that then have the ghosts on top of it, where it's like, no one's going to believe you because you're already diagnosed with this, but this other stuff is not explainable by that.
Right. And you know what, and we still do this to today, but even in the beginning, you know, you have like, so the beginning of an investigation, you have your questionnaire, you know, so you have to ask, you know, are you on medications? Which medications are you? And you have to, unfortunately, get very personal with these people. And, you know, because you need to know. And we're not here to judge. We don't care, you know, whatever. We don't care what you do, whatever. Yeah. We're just here to help you. And so, and if they don't understand that certain medications in a certain other, maybe you're not supposed to combine them or whatever it is. Maybe if they have if they're a little drinking too much or other recreational drugs or whatever you want to do, we don't care what you do. We need to know what you do though.
Yeah. So you can narrow it down.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, once we get all this information down, if we can kind of, you know, there's actually a lot of times also where I used to talk to people and ask those questions and then tell them right over the phone. And I don't even need to go to their house because I'm like, well, go to the doctors, you know, check to see these certain medications, see if it's okay. Some do cause hallucinations. So maybe if it's affecting you that much, maybe you can ask for like a lighter dosage or maybe another type or whatever it is. I mean, there's so many other things, you know, like you said, that it could be, well, let's ask your doctor first.
Sure.
You know, and then we can go from there. And then, you know, there's, I helped out a lady. It was a sister of a friend. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll go over. And I really didn't give the questionnaire before only because it was the sister of a friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she was on many things. And when I went over there, like she started falling asleep right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm like, hello, you know, and unfortunately she was, you know, she had things going on and she was on certain medications and all that. Mm-hmm. But so we were sitting at the dining room table And she fell asleep right in front of me, and like she put her head in her hands. And so it moved the dining room tablecloth. Mm-hmm. And then she like jumped up, like because she woke up and she's like, oh my God, look at that. Look at the tablecloth. It moved. And I'm like, you know, and I had to tell her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, that's not what happened. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but you know, I mean, it is. And, yeah. You know, so unfortunately that happens.
Yeah.
And you have to, you know, and some people don't really want, they don't want that answer.
Yeah.
You know, they, cause you know what, nowadays I see like the change. Nowadays people want their places to be haunted because they want to be able to tell people that it's haunted.
Exactly. You know, it's so a weird shift.
You know? Yeah. They're like, you know, they get mad at you.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not this. No, it's not, you know? And it's like, well, this is all we're finding. Like we didn't find, there's no EVP. There's nothing. That's absolutely nothing that happened. We've been here for so long. There's nothing, you know, we've tested everything. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that we found, you know, but they just, they don't want to hear it. So it's like, oh, you know, okay, well, if anything still goes on, you know, give us a call, but only give us a call after you've called that, you know, electrician or whatever it is that, you know, you need.
Sure.
And then give us a call. But, yeah. So you have to get personal, mm-hmm. You know, with some of these people, just, you know, and it's, again, no judgment. We don't care what you're doing, but sure. We're just trying to help you with whatever. So we do need to get personal.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Sherry. In part two, how often does Sherry think our hauntings are explainable by EMF or other real world causes? What was the first time Sherry was privately investigating a case that made her feel that she was on the right path? And has there ever been a time where Sherry felt truly fearful for her own safety on an investigation? Those questions and more in part two. To hear it, become a Grave Keeper. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up at thegravetalks.com or through the Patreon app. Just search The Grave Talks or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. There you'll get access to all of our interviews in their entirety. Part one, part two, no commercials. That's how we support the show and keep it on the air with that bonus segment of every episode. You get it when you sign up to be a Grave Keeper. Again, patreon.com/thegravetalks or search The Grave Talks on the Patreon app. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.